It's that time on the radio where we're joined by Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we doing today, Bill?
Hi, Howard. Very well indeed, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Now, we've been a bit remiss because we haven't yet talked about the new UK tax year, which started last month. So let's correct that now by reviewing what changes could affect our listeners. And we can start with many of them continuing to earn income in the UK. And does the new UK tax year bring in any changes for personal taxation?
Yeah, I mean, the 2019-2020 UK tax year, as I'm sure any of our UK listeners will know, ticked over on the 6th of April, just over a month ago. And that resets all thresholds and allowances for the following 12 months. And there are few changes that might affect expatriates. The amount of UK income tax you can now earn tax-free has increased by £650 to £12,500. Whereas the threshold for the highest income tax rate of 40% has risen from an income level of £46,350 by about £650 to £50,000. Different rates and bands, as a matter of interest, Howard, apply in Scotland, who set their own bands and rates. This represents about an average annual saving of just over £125 for basic rate taxpayers and a saving of about £800. And 30 for those with income up to about 125,000 in the UK. So, you know, that's really not bad news. Previous British governments have, in fact, frequently suggested that they may remove the personal allowance benefits for non-resident British nationals. Expatriates still qualify today. However, just to put a word of warning out there, that could potentially change with a new UK government. I mean, I think we are looking at a general election in the UK in the not too distant future. Who will be the victor in that is entirely undecided. But there is no question that the UK revenue are looking to gather everything from the barrel that they're scraping. And one of the areas where they may take a lead is to do something similar to that which applies in the United States of America, and remove the personal allowances would be a first step. The second step would be to make UK nationals permanently liable to report their taxes in the UK and then go to depend on double tax treaties. Now, if you do have, and this is important, a UK source of income, you may need, in fact, you probably do need to declare it your country of residence, even if it isn't liable to taxation in either country, so that you have covered your bets with both the tax authority from the UK and the tax authority in the country in which you've now chosen to live.
Yeah. What about the capital gains tax allowance? Has that increased as well?
The capital gains tax allowances, to be honest, the tax exemption continues tracking inflation. So the basic allowance for capital gains has risen from 11,700 to 12,000. It's only 6,000 for trust assets. From the 6th of April, the sale of commercial UK property owned by non-UK residents becomes subject to non-resident capital gains tax, whether it's owned by an individual or through a trust or a company. That's to follow the legislation which was introduced to make companies who own residential property liable for tax in the UK and capital gains tax upon a sale. That comes, as I say, 4 years after the UK residential property became liable. And that now brings, I think, most land, most UK property owned by urban non-residents into the firing line of capital gains tax. It seems crazy that you can be a non-resident, not ordinarily resident, and still be liable to capital gains tax in the UK, a country in which you no longer have any use of UK services. But that's the way it is, I'm afraid. And, you know, these taxes sit there to bite your bottom when you're least expecting it.
Yeah. And what about tax on savings and investments?
Yeah, I mean, same thing here. No relevant changes here, really. The band of UK savings income that now can be earned tax-free remains at 5,000. The annual ISO, we've talked about those in the past, that limit stays at 20,000. There's a thing called a dividend allowance that stays at the reduced level of 2,000. It's worth noting just once again that investments like ISAs lose their tax efficient benefits once you're no longer UK resident. Not only are non-residents ineligible to open and save into an ISA arrangement any interest earned may become liable to taxation in the country in which you've now taken up residence. So the answer is, as I said in an earlier discussion with you, Howard, I think last week or the week before, it's time really to explore alternative tax-efficient arrangements that are more suited to your particular set of circumstances, your goals and your appetite for risk, than having an ISA, which sounds attractive, is tax-free in the UK, but is wholly taxable in the country in which you're now resident.
So for our listeners here in Spain, Bill, do you think it's a good idea for UK nationals living here to continue to own ISAs?
There isn't really any sensible point in continuing to own an ISA, as I just inferred. I mean, I think the answer is that you have to, once you've relocated to Spain, you have to look at what benefits are there available to you in Spain that replicate or improve upon the benefits that come out of owning your assets inside an ISA. Now, an individual savings account, so we're clear on this, is a very advantageous UK-sponsored tax-free savings arrangement into which you can put limited amounts of money, as I've said earlier, 20,000 in the current year. And that can build up into a very sizable pot of money, a large portfolio. Many of these ISAs own assets worth more than £1 million today. But the minute you relocate out of the UK, all those tax benefits have gone. You should not be continuing to hold it in the UK. The UK tax authority know you have that asset, and you now have the opportunity to transfer those assets in specie, in many cases, into an alternative tax-free, tax-beneficial arrangement in Spain, which will be significantly more beneficial than continuing to hold the ISA. And if you think that holding the ISA is a sensible proposition just because you like it, you're familiar with it, and all the rest of those things, remember now the common reporting standard, which means the UKNM Revenue are aware of your ISA, because to get the credit, the tax-free credits on the ISA, you have to declare that you own it. They will be submitting that information automatically to the Tax Authority of Spain, and you will be asked by the Tax Authority of Spain to include the ISA and all of the gains and income on your tax return, so the ISA suddenly becomes a taxable product and not a tax-free product. What you need to do is to sit down with an independent advisor at Blevins Franks and talk to them about how you can move from the ISA to a more beneficial Spanish arrangement for tax purposes.
Well, moving on to inheritance tax bill, which continues to affect most British expats, the nil rate band has been frozen at £325,000 since 2009. But has it finally gone up now? And what about the newer family home allowance?
Well, it seems to me that inheritance tax in the UK is under a continuous level of review. I think it's just a pathetic excuse, if I'm honest, by the Treasury to continue to leave thresholds at pathetically low levels when property prices, for example, have rocketed and put lots of people into a huge tax liability for estate duty, for capital transfer, for inheritance tax, which they would otherwise not be liable for. There are people now liable for inheritance tax who don't have the free assets to pay the tax because the tax is being generated by virtue of the value of their property. Now, as I say, another inheritance tax review is underway, but you're right, Howard, at the moment the threshold still remains frozen at £325,000 per person. It's been there for the last 10 years. Given the rate of inflation in property prices, given the benefit that people have had of tremendous growth in investment assets in the last 10 years, it is outrageous that flat level, £325,000, still exists. And now you can make small gifts every year, and that's limited to £3,000 tax-free. There are some other small exemptions you can use. Now, it's the residential nil rate band is going to increase as planned from £125,000 to £150,000 per person. And this is the point you were making about residential property, your principal private residence. This will provide an additional level of tax relief when passing on your main UK home to direct descendants. But it starts to taper off once your joint assets exceed 2 million. And that, you know, with current property prices, you know, in some parts of the UK, that's almost a modest home. Now, the good news for expatriates is that overseas property, the property you own in Spain, for example, can also qualify for the residential nil rate band increases, lifting your tax-free transfers, provided it's your main home. But remember, that doesn't exempt you from succession tax in Spain. The local succession rates are likely to still apply.
Yeah. Are there any changes to the pension allowances and taxation?
There aren't any, Howard, if it's a simple answer to that question, of any significance, no. I mean, I think most listeners may understand, if you have a substantial pension, that there are limits now to the capital value of your pension before the revenue starts imposing fairly substantial and punitive tax charges. You can be charged tax up to 55% if your pension fund exceeds what is the current limit. The limits vary depending on where you are and what your pension fund is all about. But the answer is to sit down and talk, if you have a substantial pension fund, to sit down and talk to someone from Levins Franks about whether or not a movement out of a very valuable pension fund, which may be the victim of punitive taxation, whether you can achieve a transfer of those assets within the pension fund to a more beneficial arrangement. We talked about QROPs before, qualified recognised overseas pension schemes. It may be that, as you're a non-resident of the UK, and this is a vital time to be considering, because whilst the UK still remains a member of the European Union for the foreseeable future, given the transition period and all the rest of it, there is an opportunity here to make transfers under the current legislation. There is some fear that when the UK departs the European Union, should that happen, that the transfers out of the UK into a QROPS arrangement may not be as advantageous. They may even become subject to taxation. So that now's the time to look at your pension fund, if it's substantial, with a view to discussing with an independent advisor where you might move it.
Finally then, Bill, any other changes in this new UK tax year that expatriates in Spain should be aware of?
I don't think there are any significant changes in the UK that will impact upon expatriates. I think the single biggest change is the impact that the common reporting standard, this automatic information exchange between in excess of 100 countries and increasing by the month, that automatic information exchange is starting to generate enormous amounts of activity in the tax offices around the various countries of Europe, because they are suddenly receiving automatic information transmitted to them by computer technology. And those are being slowly matched up against the existing awareness of the taxpayers' assets in the country in which they now live, and any discrepancies are being jumped on. So I think the answer is for taxation, if you're a UK national and you're living outside of the UK, you cannot hide from the common reporting standard. The statutory obligation to pass this information is secure. And I think I mentioned a week or two ago, the volume of activity taking place in Spain, for example, is phenomenal compared to the past. They are talking in terms of hundreds of thousands of new pieces of information, which they're going to collate against existing awareness so that they can actually see whether or not what they're being told matches up to the records they've got. And if they don't, you can expect a knock on the door.
And how can people get in touch with Levins Franks, Bill?
I think the best way to do that in the initial stages is actually to use the website. Go to the website, www.levinsfranks.com. There's a lot of information there about the business. As I say, we've been operating in Spain for the last 30 years. Nearly 40 years. And the truth is that this is a time, I think, to sit down and talk to an independent financial advisor about how you can make sure that you don't fall victim to accidental non-declaration of income or gains, so that you're clean and you can go to sleep comfortably. There are lots of opportunities in Spain to legitimately arrange your affairs to pay the least possible tax, and that's the business that Levins Franks are in.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Bill. Always interesting. We'll talk at the same time next week.
It's a pleasure, Howard. Take care. Have a good week.